You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt, and on May 1st of 2020, Night Demon released Kill the Pain, and anyone who was lucky enough to get one of these 7-inch singles before they sold out. On the flip side, there was a killer B-side, a tribute to the godfathers and innovators of metal in Ventura, California, Sirith Ungle. This is 100 Miles Per Hour. So 100 Miles Per Hour, a cover by Night Demon, originally by Sirith Ungle. So if you're not familiar with Sirith Ungle, we did some episodes on the history of Sirith Ungle covering their entire career and their breakup and their reunion and their return to the stage. Check out episodes 25 to 28 of this podcast. So they were formed in 1972, and they formed in a time when there was no metal scene at all in Ventura, California. So after 20 years and after over 20 years and a solid catalog of timeless doom-filled metal, Sirith Ungle officially disbanded, only to be reunited 25 years later at the Frost and Fire Festival by Jarvis and Night Demon. So the Sirith Ungle story is one of my favorite episodes of this podcast, and I can't recommend those episodes and the band Sirith Ungle enough. I went from knowing a few of their songs to becoming a hardcore fan in the process of putting those episodes together. So, Sirith Ungle, truly a kick-ass and totally unique band in the history of heavy metal. Here's Armand John Anthony.
They're definitely a unique band. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's anything I can compare them to. You know, there's just a bunch of influences and, you know, the sound of Tim's vocal. I think vocals are very unique, especially for that time. They're really heavy as far as, not like in a way like Black Sabbath is with, you know, they're tuned down really low and stuff like that. I think it's more of just the doom aspect and the lyrics and the, you know, the artwork, which is a huge, huge part of their thing. You know, that, all that stuff together just makes it, you know, heavy. Besides the sound.
So one of those 80s Sirith Ungle albums, the 1986 album One Foot in Hell, contains this song, 100 Miles Per Hour. So that's the original 100 Miles Per Hour from 1986, but this song has a much longer history than even that. Here's Jarvis Leatherby.
It's hard to pick a favorite B-side of these singles, but if I had to, it would be this song, 100 Miles Per Hour. This is a Sirith Ungle classic. You know, and although the band never plays it live, this is a song that started in the late 70s with these guys, and I think it's, you know, pretty much one of the first things that Tim Baker sang on. It was later released on the One Foot in Hell album, the third full length, later in the 80s. when Greg was no longer in the band. But, you know, Greg and Rob, I think, are the primary songwriters for this song.
This is Robert Garvin, the drummer of Sirith Ungul. The song 100 Miles an Hour was written by Greg Lindstrom on February 9th, 1980. Greg and I were always great fans of sports cars and motor racing, and that's what this song's about. It's about high-speed driving, it's about sports cars, and it's in about 3.5 minutes long. Although we recorded several versions of it in our home studio, the seminal version came out on our third studio album, One Foot in Hell, which was released on Metal Blade Records in 1986.
Hello to all the faithful Night Demonoids out there. This is Tim Baker, vocalist for the band Sirith Ungul. A bit of history about the song 100 Miles Per Hour. Well, that is a Greg Lindstrom composition from back in the early days of the band. All the car imagery is derived from Greg and Rob's shared love of exotic cars and all their splendor that they carried together, like from back in the day when they were kids in school. So that's where all that comes from. It's also available, I believe, in early demo version. So I also highly encourage you to check that out also. We're coming.
Sirith Ungul songs, this song is the most like Night Demon. When we were kind of partying, you know, one night, Jarvis was listening to Sirith Ungul and he's like, you guys got to listen to 100 Miles Per Hour. And, you know, when he played it, I was like, damn, like, this is like their heaviest, fastest song. And he's like, we should cover it. And I was like, really? You think the guys would get pissed if we cover it? He's like, I don't think so. He's like, because they're not going to play it live. And I know that there's some fans out there that probably wanted them to play it live. And there's no reason to say that they would never play it live ever, because never say never. But it was definitely a song that was more in our wheelhouse and something more that we could put into our, you know, pile of cover songs.
You know, like when covering a Sirith Ungul song, we wanted to pick a song that was, you know, a deeper cut, something like this, but also something that would go well with Night Demon. Sirith Ungul's sound is so unique. And obviously, you know, vocally, it's challenging. And so I thought that this was the perfect choice.
Like I said, again, I mean, if there was any song that you could find in the Sirith Ungul catalog, you know, I think this one just seemed to fit us perfectly. I don't really know why. Just like the lyrical content, you know, the thing about going fast, Night Demon, we do play a lot of fast shit. You know, it's cool. It just has, I don't know, it just seemed to fit. So we just went with it.
So this one just made sense and it was pretty painless. And, you know, once we figured out how to play it, then we did it. So it made sense to us. I think if we would have tried it and it would have been, you know, forced or didn't sound like how we would want to represent it and paying tribute and honor to these guys, then we wouldn't have put it out. But since it came out well and we were able to iron it out, heck yeah, let's do it, you know?
I would say that, yeah, it is different covering a song from a band that's so close to us, but I think it's actually, it means more because we actually know the guys who created this stuff. And so for us, we really want to do it justice because we want to impress them and we want them to care about what we're doing. And honoring somebody that you know and love and care about and spend so much of your life with is a lot more important than somebody that you just admire from afar or somebody that might not be the person that you think they are. And that's why, you know, doing things for your friends and family always feels a lot better than just going out and helping some random people. I know that's a good thing to do. And, you know, we've done that. But, you know, with the Metal Cares thing, it's like we always try and put that forward to something that's close to our heart and something that helps out directly in the metal community.
Yeah, and having those guys so close to us, you know, it's like, I mean, I think at first it was a little like, oh man, what are they going to think? So the guitar and metronome demo, yeah, that was me just kind of mapping the song out in the way that we had talked about doing it. I guess we probably had jammed it a few times in the room, the rehearsal room before this, just kind of working out the structure, I'm not really sure. Maybe this was, since there's no drums or bass on this and the click track is there, I feel like I did this to kind of give something to the guys to play against or maybe work out a couple of parts before we got into the room.
The process of putting the song together, we basically just sat down, Armand and I, and kind of just learned the riffs of the song. At that point, he just recorded something to a metronome and kind of played a guitar demo for it. After that, we got into the practice room and just hashed it out and did a little cell phone recording, and it came pretty easily, honestly.
You know, this is before we had the equipment that we have now where we can actually record our rehearsals with like different mics and everything and have like multi-tracks and actually mix it to sound good. This is just throwing somebody's phone, you know, outside of the door of the room. Because if it was inside the room, it would just be a bunch of fucking distortion because we're so loud in there. So, So this is us, you know, probably doing one of the first band run-throughs that we had done of this song, at least the first time we recorded it.
It took a couple times to really wrap my head around the song, memorizing it structure-wise, stuff like that. As far as the demo goes, you know, there's some fills in there that are a little generic that I kind of changed in the studio. We changed the structure up a bit.
We ended up adding our own outro to it because there's not really a defined one on the old Ungle recordings. And we came up with the one of the greatest outros. You know, I don't want to say I hate to waste it on a cover song, but the bow down da down da down da down. It's like really fucking awesome. It really puts a cap on what was already a great song.
So yeah, this one came together kind of last minute. It was a song that we had talked about covering for a while. We all felt like if there was ever one Cirith Ungle song that we could pull off, this would be the one. You know, it almost seems like it was written for Night Demon. You know, pretty sure that they heard us working on it in the room one day, because you know we share both of our rehearsal rooms are in the same building at the Night Demon headquarters there, and there's a lot of times where our rehearsals will overlap, and I'm pretty sure I remember a day when we walked out of the room and Rob was out there just like, what are you guys doing? what are you guys working on? I'm like, well, you know now. So I think we had talked about it with them before, and they had also, you know, kind of gave us a blessing, like, yeah, you guys should do that song. I think it would fit really well, you know, fit you guys really well. So, because looking at the dates of these, this is pretty much like, I don't know, a little over a week before we went to Copenhagen to go record with Fleming.
So with a fully demonized version of this song demoed and ready to go, they headed to Copenhagen to record Kill the Pain with Fleming Rasmussen, with this song in their back pocket.
So upon going to record with Fleming, you know, the main goal was to get Kill the Pain down. 100 miles per hour is kind of like an afterthought, or, you know, an option. You know, mainly we wanted to make sure that we got Kill the Pain down and that we were happy with that. And then once we did, we realized we had the time, and so we decided to go ahead and do 100 miles per hour. I think we might have tracked the drums. We probably did the drums, you know, back to back. Once we got the drums down for Kill the Pain, we went ahead and did the drum track for 100 miles per hour. I think we might have just kind of kept that on the back burner, you know, because we weren't sure how long it was going to take. You know, it was a new song and everything, so we wanted to make sure that we put the time in for Kill the Pain, you know, as it being more of an original song. But I think when it came time, we realized we were on schedule and things were going well over there. We just fucking got into it. And I don't remember it taking too long, you know. We had worked all the parts out, you know, ahead of time. And a couple takes, just fucking getting it down, getting the feel right. And I probably did a couple of takes of that solo, but I had it pretty worked out, I think, before going in. So I feel like it didn't take very long, you know, and I think you can hear it. You think you can hear it on the recording that it was very kind of spontaneous and, but also worked out and has a good energy, really good energy. So I'm really happy the way that came out with him.
When we were in the studio with Fleming Rasmussen doing this, I think that more time was obviously spent on Kill the Pain, but we did spend a considerable amount of time on this song. Dusty nailed the drums pretty quickly, I remember. But, you know, when we were doing the guitar and bass tracks, we had those amazing tones from Kill the Pain. And, you know, we were working out the solos and stuff like that. Armand pretty much had an idea from the original demo that he did before we went in. You know, I mean, like we said, we were very prepared when we went in to do this song. So, you know, as far as the guitar and bass work, I remember having a lot of enjoyment doing this in the studio. And then we added that little organ part at the end that Armand played. So I think when we got to playing this song in the studio after doing Kill the Pain, we were way more relaxed because it wasn't our own song. And we were just going in there and pounding it out.
And, you know, when we went in the studio with Fleming, this song was definitely second of importance. You know, our main focus was to go in there and record Kill the Pain, and it was the icing on the cake for us to go in there and do 100 miles per hour. I mean, we knew in our minds that we had to get both songs done musically and all that. So it was definitely important to get Kill the Pain done first, but then, you know, if we could really go in there and nail 100 miles per hour, then let's do that. And the first day I did Kill the Pain and took, you know, 10 to 12 takes, something like that. Not full songs, but definitely put some time into it. Day number two, I came right in first thing in the morning, had some coffee, had some food. And I don't know, we probably started tracking at like noon. First take, I don't even know if I got through the whole song. Second take is what's on record. And then we tried a third take and I messed up like halfway through and I just said, take number two is the one. It was actually probably the first full run of the whole song from start to finish, but that's what the drum track is on that, is just the first time all the way through. It just, something just clicked and I was able to just nail the track, you know, no metronome, no click as usual, but captured the vibe and was able to just nail it. So, you know, for me, there's a lot less personal, I don't know how to word it, but I take doing the original music more seriously and personal than I do covers. Covers are kind of a little, I'm more unattached to a cover version of anything, whether we make it our own or not. It's not our baby. It's just our rendition of somebody else's baby. So there's a lot less pressure and I don't want to say focus, but like, yeah, like even like less focus, less just, I don't know. It's a lot more easygoing and more flowing. So I was able to get that song done in no time. So that was nice because then the guys could go in and really work on the guitars, getting their sounds right and really getting the guitars going.
You know, it's by far my favorite bass tone that I've ever had on a song. I used a P bass that Fleming had gotten for me, and I plugged right into Armand's Marshall JCM 800 and threw my 412 cabs, and we just ISO'd that cab. And fuck, man, the crunch on this is just insane on the bass. It's by far my favorite bass tone that I've ever had. Another thing that I really like about this song is the tightness of the drums and the bass. You know, sometimes it makes me just want to listen to a track of just the drums and the bass together because my bass tone is so good. But also the way that we were able to lock in on this. It just shows how tight Dusty and I are as a rhythm section and really, really holding it down so Armand could, you know, kind of, I don't want to say flow freely over this because he's really locking in with us hardcore on the verses. But when it comes to the chorus, we're really able to open up because of that. And again, Dusty really shines on this song. The drum work on this song really did make it something special and something unique. We originally started out with the song kind of going, okay, it's pretty straightforward, but how do we demonize it? How do we make it a Night Demon song? And really where that comes in is with the drums. We tried to do something a little more rhythmic on the verses and give it a lot more dynamics. The drums that Rob plays on this song are pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of ebbs and flows, and that doesn't really fit well with the Night Demon style. So we had to revamp things in a way where Dusty could really bring out a lot of his talents on this song. And so we kind of made it more of like a chuggy thing on the verse, on the verses. And he added like a lot of double kick in there. And so I was syncopating with him on that. It has a very Metallica Garage Days kind of feel, us doing this version of the song. And so recording this song with Fleming Rasmussen was really a gift. It really got me into that mode. Like it was 1987 and, you know, Metallica recording their covers record.
My drumming is a lot different than Robert's. And Robert's very unique in his style and nobody else plays like him in the world, which makes him super unique. And that is a little bit more than me, I think. You know, as far as what I do, sometimes it can be a little mechanic and a little too straight. So I try to really put some feel into it, but also keep it driving. I would, you know, say that my drumming is more like everybody else's, where Roberts is just like him and nobody else, which I think is really unique about his playing. You know, I've played to so many albums and played like so many other drummers that my style sounds like those guys in a sense. You know, I don't know if you can necessarily say, like, when you hear a Night Demon song, like, oh, that's Dusty on the drums. But when you listen to Sirith Ungol, you know that it's Robert. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'm sure other people could argue it or whatever, but we'll leave that for another time. As I always say, how we, you know, demonize things, this is no exception. And, you know, the double bass parts. The fills going into the choruses. Robert doesn't do any fills. But, you know, there's double bass in the bridge. And, you know, we do this little break where there's double bass. So really the only things that really changed and kind of evolved was the double bass. And, you know, we kind of shortened the structure up a bit to make it more our own. And, you know, the song's pretty cut and dry. But, you know, just like even like learning like Misfits songs, you know, sometimes the songs that sound pretty simple kind of take a little bit of time to get right and proper. And this was one of those songs as well.
We didn't tweak too many things as far as the structure of the song, but again, adding the different dynamics, adding the back and forth rhythm thing. And, you know, having Tim Baker sing on this, doing a duet with me is just, it makes the song even more classic.
It was an honor to be asked to do it. And it was fun, really. So, but getting in there and doing that, it was odd because we were trading off, you know, like vocal lines and things like that. And it was like kind of being back in the, you know, back in the day, almost kind of doing that song. Like, it's kind of trying to channel old school sound, you know, to like, oh, give me that, like, you know, that 80s sound again. Like, okay, that's cool. But it came out good. It was fun. And, you know, I think the process was pretty cool.
When we brought it up to him, he was very enthusiastic about coming in and doing the vocals with Jarvis and trading off the verses and stuff like that.
I think, you know, having Tim on the song was a big deal because I don't think it would have been as impactful. I think it would have just kind of been like whatever. But because we collaborated with him, it really made it something special. So that was super important.
I don't know if Jarvis ever actually tried singing it live in the room before we recorded it. I think we just worked it all out later on, you know, after we had the tracks, and then when we decided to bring Tim in to do the guest parts for him and for them to do a sort of a heavy metal duet, you know, back and forth kind of thing.
Under the Man of Steel! There's us in our veins! We're brought to the fire! We're pleasure in the pain!
Originally, there wasn't an idea for him to do that, but the way that we restructured the verses, when you hear it, it's the first section is the double kick, and then it pauses into the riff. Ba-na-na-na-na, and then it's a more so like the way that we altered those gave me an idea of like, okay, well, since it's like every other time it does something different, it's like, okay, well, here's my verse and here's Tim's verse.
Call it heavy metal.
And what we did on the second verse is we reversed the order of things. So when we reverse the order of the way that the riff goes, we also reverse the order of who sings what part, myself or Tim.
We're
So I thought that was another interesting take that we had on it. But I remember, you know, Tim was not originally going to sing on the song. And I just remember he was around one day and I'm like, dude, let's go do this. And he's like, I don't even know the lyrics. but they came right back to him. He remembered. I don't even think I had to give him a lyric sheet for that. But the trade-off thing, it just happened so naturally. And it was just, it was awesome. It was magical. Vocally, I took a more melodic approach. Tim is obviously much more of a screamer and I don't even know what to call it. His voice is so goddamn unique. But I wanted to take a more melodic approach because that's how I take things. So I always love being able to take a song that doesn't have melodic vocals and make them melodic because there's usually some kind of melodic music underneath it. It's the same approach that I did with Midnight's Evil Like a Knife for the Live Darkness record. I love songs that have a good rock and roll melody riff, but, you know, kind of have somewhat monotone vocals. It just creates a whole open platform for me because there's not a vocal melody written per se. So it's I could go wherever I want with it.
Coming like a hurricane, 100 miles an hour. We suffer nothing because we got the power. We're coming 100 miles per hour. We're coming 100 miles per hour. We're coming.
And it was really cool being in the studio with Tim, just trading off vocals on the same mic. But no, it was a lot of fun just being there with him in the studio. It's like we had only done that with recording Sirith Ungol stuff before. And, you know, I know that he's a big supporter of Night Demon. So I think he's pretty stoked to be on a Night Demon recording too.
Yeah, it was never one of my favorite songs, but it is now. Yeah. And I think their version is probably better than our version, I think. It's not as good as their version. They kind of rocked it up, changed some things around and stuff. So it was pretty awesome, really. They did a good job on it. I mean, it really came out good, and I think people, you know, really like it. And I'm honored to be a part of it. So, yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm really happy, again, on a cover song that we could put our own stamp on it. You know, you can hear near the end of the song, we do the signature Night Demon harmonies between guitar and bass. That guitar and bass interplay is definitely our signature sound.
So instead of doing the, you know, a normal traditional guitar harmony, we did the Night Demon traditional thing, which is to do harmonized guitar and bass together. And so that when we do play it live, it sounds like the record. And it's become, you know, one of those signature things that we do. I try to keep some of the, you know, in my mind, the signature parts of the guitar solo, I try to keep those parts in there instead of just completely writing my own solo. Sometimes for me, if I hear a band covering a song where, you know, there's sometimes really signature parts of the solos. That's how I like to write my solos as well. And sometimes bands will just go off and kind of the guitar player will do their own thing through the whole solo. And I don't know, that kind of bums me out. You know, I want to hear those certain parts, you know, it's like they just need to be in there. So for me, I kept it in there. As far as the new ending that we came up with, yeah, just a cool way to button it up because their version kind of just ends on, you know, the last part of that chorus.
The one thing that we came up with was at the end of the song, there's the big hits. I think that was something that I kind of came up with, you know, trying to figure out a way to end the song. And I was kind of thinking of like some like cheesy, like Metallica, if that makes any sense. You know, I was just kind of thinking like that. But, you know, for some reason, it just made sense to do something like that at the end of that song. And it just chops the song right off and it's done.
Hey guys, Nesbitt here. If you'd like to support Night Demon and this podcast, the best way to do it is to become a Night Demon subscriber. Not only will you be doing your part to support a true heavy metal band out there really living it, you'll also gain access to a ton of extras. Bonus audio content, a subscriber-only merch store with rare items from the band's archives, you can stream never-before-heard demos and unearth live concerts from the live vaults, communicate with other Night Demon diehards on an exclusive subscriber forum, and gain early access to all press releases, album pre-orders, new merchandise, and a ton more. And another thing that I think is pretty cool is Night Demon will be donating 10% of every subscription fee to the Metal Cares Foundation, which is a charitable fund the band started in 2014 to aid those in our metal community. So head over to nightdemon.net/subscriber. And join us as we make heavy metal history together as one. And on a side note, I'll personally think you're a grade A badass.
I don't know how much more I could say about this song. You know, from a lyrical standpoint, I think a lot of these early Cirith Ungol songs, you know, these guys were writing songs like this when they were in junior high or early in high school. So they really had that fire in them to quote unquote make it, you know, to go out there and show the world that this is their heavy rock. This is their power. And so with these lyrics, you get that, you know, they call it heavy metal, comes on hard and fast. We're the men who play it. We're here to kick your ass. Or we're the boys who play it. We're here to kick your ass. However you want to say it. And it's like, I wasn't even born when this song was written, but it's still nostalgic for me because it brings back the feeling that I had when I was their age and I was writing my first songs and I was inspired by the heavy rock bands. And it's that kind of fire. It's that kind of attitude. It's like you set the precedence early on. Like, you know, we're a fucking heavy metal machine, you know, and we're out there to fucking kill. And so this song resonates with me so much in the lyrical content, not just in the music.
When I first heard this song, which was one of the very first Cirith Ungol songs written by the band, I was immediately reminded of the very first Night Demon song written, their namesake song, Night Demon. Here's Jarvis.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. When comparing the lyrics of this song to our song, Night Demon, our self-titled song, the first song we ever wrote, you know, I never really thought about it before, but since I'm asked the question, yeah, there is a similarity. And I think it's the, you know, this song, 100 Miles Per Hour, was written in the 70s before Tim Baker was even really in the band. And I think it's much like the first Night Demon track, you know, there was no pressure on us. We were not even a band. And I think it's got the same vibe of just like, you know, we're young and hungry headbangers and we're here to kick your ass. We're here to take over the world with our music. We're here to bring all of us together in a way that nothing else can do besides the power of heavy fucking metal. And it's really great. I'm really glad that I was asked this question because I never put the comparison together before, but now looking at them both side by side, it really is awesome to see the similarities in that. And our youth when we wrote Night Demon and their youth when they wrote 100 Miles Per Hour, it just goes to show it's a natural feeling that you have, that feeling of young rebellion and really just wanting to be a part of something more than you.
So as a B-side, the song was released along with Kill the Pain, but it also got its own digital release. So in January, in the lead up to the release of the upcoming compilation LP Year of the Demon, which is out March 25th, this song was released as a digital single on all the streaming services. And with that came cover art. So the cover art is a simple design, and it's simple and uncomplicated, but it means more than you might expect on first glance.
And so this song is being released as a digital single before the Year of the Demon album comes out, and we needed some cover art for this, even digitally, even though it wasn't a 7-inch. It was the B-side of a 7-inch, which is great. But for this one, of course, I had Brian Krebaugh just throw something together, and he did something really cool, I think. It's very simplistic, but it's basically 100 miles per hour written in like kind of like a digital speedometer font. And it's simple, just red on black. It's the Night Demon sigil with the chaos symbol around it. So the chaos symbol is, you know, something that's been around for a long time, but it's synonymous with Cirith Ungol as one of their symbols. And what makes the chaos symbol unique for Cirith Ungol, this is how you'll always know it's theirs, is it's slightly rotated. So the arrows don't point up and down, left and right, like a normal chaos symbol. They're pointed in the diagonal directions, and that's cool. So I love this cover art. I love the simplicity of it, but it's basically two of the band's symbols merged together as one. And, you know, everybody knows about the relationship between these two bands and how tight we are and what a family we are. So not only to be able to record a song like this and be and further merge our legacies together, to have a simple piece of art that's going to be out there as the cover art for this single means that much more to me.
So the reaction from the Cirith Ungol guys, I think basically was like, well, first of all, it's a song that they never play as far as any time, you know, since they've reunited, they've never played that song. I don't know about back in the earlier days when they were, you know, when the album actually came out or at that time, if they ever played that song much, if at all. I think they basically decided that, you know what, you guys did it such justice that we're just gonna like let it be yours and we're not gonna bother playing it again. So, I mean, that's a huge, huge, huge compliment and an immense gesture on their part.
When the rest of the guys in Cirith Ungol heard it, I think they were very pleasantly surprised. You know, I don't want to say they were a little jealous. Maybe Rob was. But, you know, because the drum work Dusty does on this is so good. But, you know, we really tightened up this song and made it our own. And again, you know, it does remind me a little bit of like a Metallica kind of Garage Days feel. Kind of what they did with the Diamond Head song Helpless, and us recording it with Fleming, obviously, you know, I think we knew this was the perfect song to take to him. And, you know, I mean, those guys, the guys in Ungol, I mean, they really did appreciate us doing this song and bringing it a new life, especially since it's a song that is not currently played by the band or anywhere near the set list.
I love it. I think it's really, really good. Like I said, they're really well prepared to do it. And I was kind of shocked and amazed when, you know, when Jarvis said, hey, we're going to do a cover of, you know, 100 miles per hour, because I know they've done a bunch of covers for the B-sides of their singles. It was an honor and a pleasure to, you know, to have them do that. And, you know, I really like their version. It holds true to the original, but it's, you know, it's got definitely got their own, you know, badass Night Demon vibe to it, you know. So it really rocks hard, and it's freaking cool, man. And
when I first heard Night Demon's cover version of 100 Miles an Hour, I was blown away. They're a very tight and powerful group, and what they've done is they've taken this song of ours and cranked it up to an entirely new level.
No, I love it. It's really good, and I'm honored, and you know, really, really. It's really cool that they did this, man. I mean, I can't thank them enough.
Yeah, we're going to definitely play this fucker live. I'm pretty sure that the next time that Night Demon and Cirith Ungol share the stage, share a bill, I mean, we're going to just have to do it, you know? It's just a perfect thing. I think the fans would fucking lose their shit. I know it'd be really, really fun for us. So, you can look forward to that.
I look forward to, you know, maybe jumping up on stage sometime when we're playing at the same, you know, gigs and giving it a go with them, you know, see how that works out.
All in all, this song is bombastic, and it's definitely a song that I want to play live. There is a plan for Night Demon and Sarah Thungel to do 8 European shows together next summer, and this is something that I want to bring up to everybody about playing on stage and having Tim sing it with us. I think it's going to be something that the audience is really going to enjoy, and of course, we're going to be playing it here on this podcast. I do think this song is paying tribute to Sarah Thungel, the very first heavy metal band from Ventura, California, and really, you know, before Night Demon, the only band that really mattered on a global scale from our area. So, you know, I mean, the band is in its 51st year of existence here, and it's a pretty incredible thing that most of these guys are still around and kicking ass and able to do this. So I'm really happy that we were able to do this, not just for us, but for them too, and hopefully shed some light to, you know, I mean, if there's Night Demon fans out there that don't know who Sarah Thungel are, you know, I mean, I would be surprised, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So at the end of the day, I'm really proud of this thing, and I'm really glad we got to do that. Our bond with Sarah Thungel is so special. It's, you know, it's one of the greatest accomplishments of my life, being able to reunite those guys and then being able to join forces with these two bands. We're one big happy family.
Well, that's it for 100 Miles an Hour. And as always, check out the subscriber section on nightdemon.net. We have the full demos of Night Demon's cover. We have Flemming Rasmussen's rough mix. We have the original and demo versions of the Sirith Ungol versions of the track streaming. Early unused artwork for the single. Be sure to check all that out at nightdemon.net. Also, a reminder that all of these tracks, all of these singles and B-sides, are available on the LP compilation Year of the Demon that's coming out March 25th of 2022. Until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is bar none the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Visit our website at monstersmadnessandmagic.com to stay up to date on all the dark dealings within the Sanctuary of the Strange. Enjoy the show.
Hey metalheads, I'm Mark and I host Metal Forge. Let me tell you about the show. The Metal Forge features the best underground metal from all over the world. We spend every week with a different artist with interviews, in-depth conversations, and most of all, the music. We also feature audience interactivity where you can submit your questions to the upcoming guests. New episodes are out every Friday at noon Eastern Time at MetalForgeRadio.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Want to know what's going on in the world of music? Then tune in to the Nothing Shocking Podcast, a non-genre-based, all-ages-friendly rock and roll program. Join us weekly for interviews with all your favorite rock stars from the mainstream to the underground. You can find us at nothingshocking.libsyn.com or anywhere you download podcasts.
Okay, metalheads, you've been complaining that there has not been a channel that plays all of the heavy metal videos from past, present, and future for years and years at this point. Well, that time is over. Heavy Metal Television is back. HeavyMetalTelevision.net is the website. Go there. You can see videos playing 24/7, 365, all the time. All the best from the old school, the new school, and everything in between. Check it out, HeavyMetalTelevision.net. It is where the metal is.